What's going on, geeks? You're listening to episode 381 of the Geeks of the Race podcast. My name's Cody Armour. I'm here with LJ Lowry.
Yo.
And Shelley Nolan.
Hello.
I am back from being super sick last week. Thanks for taking over, guys. That was wild. I thought it was allergies, but then other people started catching it. I know that it wasn't COVID because I tested for COVID. But I don't know what else it could have been.
That's all good. I haven't been able to hear out of my right ear for like a week and a half. So like I'm
oh, man. Yeah, it started all up sinuses in the sinuses and then drained. And so I was like, oh, that's obviously allergies because it's spring. But if it was allergies, then allergies won this year. They should be given a medal because I got wrecked. Before we get into the podcast, hopefully everyone is has a great Easter. Elton kind of reminded me of that. Yeah, it's always kind of hard because the podcasts are like a week in advance most holidays, and so yeah, Easter for us will be almost a week away. But great time to spend time with family and remember the I usually say it for Christmas, but the reason for the season. I feel like Easter can get really lost in the picnics and stuff.
Definitely.
But to me, Easter is almost more of an important holiday than Christmas is.
Oh, it certainly is. Definitely. Certainly is.
Yeah.
When I worked at the church, it used to be our Super Bowl, basically. Like, that was the big one, you know?
Yep, I've heard that terminology, too. I feel like more people go to Christmas services than Easter services that don't go to church regularly. But Easter, it's definitely, like, the big one. It should be, like, kind of like the Super Bowl. Anyways, hope you're having a good Easter. This week, we're geeking out about Spyro Kazooie. As best I can come up with. Lots of trailers. There's so many trailers. There are no other puns in this geek out because I'm still not feeling great. We'll jump into it.
That's fine.
I'll start with games, actually.
Do it.
I'll be quick on it because I was sick, so I did get some time to play some stuff. Finished God of War. Ragnarok.
Oh, isn't it so good?
Only cried a little bit.
You should definitely try, if you want more, they have the Valhalla DLC that is super good.
I gotta check that out still.
I've not finished it, but the Valhalla DLC is really good. I like it a lot.
I'm a little worried with the DLC, and I'll do it, but I kind of just went straight through the story.
Yeah.
Anytime they're like, you want to go do something else? I was like, no, story. and so I don't know how underleveled I'm going to be for that, but I will definitely check it out.
It's almost like they turn it into like a roguelike, or it's almost like the devs were like, hey, you know, Hades, like let's do that.
Okay, that's cool.
It's cool. It's got some story to it as well. It's really neat. I like it.
And it's free, right? The DLC.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's
completely
pretty neat.
Free.
Yeah, it's good. I definitely assumed something was going to happen that didn't, and that really surprised me. I don't want to give too much away.
They pulled a Marvel on us. I feel like everything like Marvel kind of like shows you like, oh, this might happen, but we're not going to do that. You know, I feel like they definitely did that.
Yeah. I was really surprised. There's a conversation that's happening throughout the game that I thought would kind of like play out in the end, and they divert that.
They definitely make a hard left at one point. Like, not like super hard left, but it's just like, oh, okay, we're not doing that. All right.
Yeah, almost to a point where it's kind of like they changed their mind, maybe, and they're like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and now it leaves me going, like, okay, what are y'all doing next? Like, what?
Like, yeah, for sure. I also thought that was kind of silly. There is, so hard to navigate this, but there is this underlying message to, like, be better. But the results, even though they are better, end up still kind of being the same anyways.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, or like the changing of your past, or like, you know, it's like, oh, like, you know, Kratos spends so much time running away from his past. They're like, oh, but you don't forget who you are, though. And he's like,
yeah,
I'm not trying to do, like, he's like, oh, like, if y'all want me to, I guess. Like,
I'm literally trying to change who I am.
Yeah, he's like, I'm literally trying,
The ending is a little awkward, I feel like.
It's still really
the story was still really well done. I'm upset that Kratos never says I love you to Atreus. I'm like, dude,
it's a man.
Why don't we get
he's a man. He can't say I love you. He's a man. I mean, he's a man.
It would have been such a moment.
I know.
Or like like an I'm proud of you. Something like
some
just fatherly
of,
that hearing
some
from
kind
your
of
father would Yeah. Because that's like they have a moment, but I just.
That's what we want.
It would have been so good for Kratos to finally have been.
That's a very just, like spiritual message right there too, like that affirmation, you know, like.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there gonna be another one?
So that whole part.
There's definitely gonna be more. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought they said this might. I'd have to go back and look, but I thought they said this might be the end of the like Norse saga, So I'm like. But when I, after playing the game, I'm like, really? Like, are y'all sticking to that?
Yeah. I could see it being maybe the end of the Norse saga, but them doing a spinoff kind of situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away there either.
I mean,
but
there's definitely stuff
basically
they could do, but I thought they were going to get into that in this game, but they didn't.
Yeah, they built up some. Yeah. You play as multiple characters, and so. They built the mechanics out to where they could do a story with other characters.
That was very Spider-Man of them to do that too. Like, I'm like, are we gonna get like an Atreus like spinoff, like Miles Morales?
Yeah.
Or something? Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's
so,
the sequel.
I could see
maybe,
that, and then Kratos
going
to do it his own thing
in the next game. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. But no, it's a really good game. You should play it if you haven't. You gotta play God of War 4, I guess you'd call it. First, I would say,
definitely,
to really understand. I don't think you could appreciate this game without playing 4 first.
Mm-hmm.
But acting's all really done well. The voice acting is
Mimir
usually
is
pretty crazy.
Mimir, he's still my favorite.
Yeah. Mimir, wonderful as always. Mimir says he loves you. He goes, I love you, brother.
Aww.
Yeah, like, aww. Mimir is like really, like, he's like still one of my favorites.
Come on, Kratos.
Yep.
Be a little so sensitive for once, Kratos.
Yeah. I'll mention this too, for the fun of it, I googled the diagnosis, mental diagnosis for Kratos.
Uh-huh.
PTSD, obviously, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And then
yep.
The other one was antisocial disorder.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, I was like, oh, interesting. Don't know why I thought to do that, but I was just like, I wonder what's all wrong with Kratos.
I mean, pointing out both of those makes sense. Like,
what's wrong with this guy? There's something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely like any his trust for people and gods especially was ruined from day one. So that's and then he isolates. You know, and then he stays as far away from anything as he can.
I'd get too deep, but I just wanted to clarify because of the way that I worded that, and I was like, I could see that being construed to say that, you know, if you have a mental illness, there's nothing wrong with you per se, but we're all broken in some way or another. And so, I guess that's what I'm trying to say is like, what is he needing healing from? It's a better way to word that.
No, yeah.
So, anyways, that was the game.
Yeah.
LJ, what have you been playing?
First, I got a fun little game. I got on sale because I didn't want to get it when it was like $35, but I played the Hellboy video game that came out last year. Actually, I'm playing it on my PC and Steam Deck a little bit. But it's a fun little game. It's not great. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not like amazing either. It actually plays kind of God of War-ish. Like, I feel like they do the over-the-shoulder camera, and then like as Hellboy, you can either shoot your gun, or he has his hand that he hits with, and so he's got different moves he can do that. And then there's, like, some dodging mechanics. It definitely reminds me of God of War. You fight a lot of bigger enemies. Those are kind of the main ones. But then you fight all the little ones
to,
like, get health as you go. But he's got some cool little finishers that he does. And it looks like the dang comic book. Like, it just looks pulled right from it. And that's, like, the best part. Lance Reddick actually voices Hellboy. That was, like, one of his last roles he ever did.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And it's actually not bad. I'm like, because I always picture him as, like, Zavala from Destiny, or as, like, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine
from John Wick, you know? Like, so I'm like, huh, like, okay, like, it somehow works. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. Like, it's interesting, because I guess, like, I'm so used to, like, Ron Perlman's portrayal. And then, like, David Harbour did a good job, too, but I felt like that wasn't far off from Ron Perlman. But this one was just like Lance. It's such a different role for him, and then even for Hellboy. Like, I was like, oh, you know what? I kind of dig this. Like, too bad that he's not around anymore to to do another one, or else I'd be like, you know what, I'd want more of that. But that's a fun little game for $15. I'm glad I waited to get it on sale. The other one has definitely fueled my this kick I've been on with like Feudal Japan stuff. And so I've played, I got Rise of the Ronin because Joe decided he was going to cover Dragon's Dogma 2 for the website. So I said, okay, since both of these come out the other day, I'll get Rise of the Ronin, you know, like, I know it's not going to be, I never thought it was going to be this, like, amazing game, you know, but now that I play it, it's definitely, like, the Assassin's Creed, Witcher kind of thing, Ghost of Tsushima, like, all rolled into one. Definitely a lot to do. I didn't know until, like, I got it, but you can make your... You can make two characters, which is like, you give me time with just one character created, but then you give me two. Like, I could have spent a whole day on just making the two characters, but basically the concept is, I forget what the name of the clan is, but it's like the Twin Blades or something like that. And so you, in the beginning scene, you're these two kids, and you get picked up by, you know, by a clan samurai person. And then so you get to make your characters, and then the whole concept is like, you split apart eventually, and so now you're on a quest to find your blade twin or whatever. So I'm guessing I'm going to throw down with this other character I created, which is really fascinating. And I made my I made my main character female because I'm like, you don't really, like, I don't know, like, just feel like it's too easy to make like a male character just because that's what I relate to. But playing it from like a female thing is very interesting because you do get to go to like an entertainment district.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and they don't really acknowledge like your gender or whatever, but it just makes it more interesting. Like as I interact with characters, that I'm like, oh, this would feel a lot different if I was playing as a male. Like,
yeah,
in context, you know, like even in context, it's I feel like it feels different. I made the character I got lucky with this because they had her exact hairstyle, but I modeled her after the actress that plays Mariko from Shogun, and I'm like, this came out way better than I expected to. You can also save different character creation stuff, so I made a version of a lead from Blue Eye Samurai, because I'm like, yeah, this is just channeling everything like I've been into lately. So it's super fun. It's definitely got the points where it doesn't look the greatest. It's definitely got a little bit of Team Ninja Koei, like a little bit of jank, but it's probably one of the most polished things they've made in a while. Still, I think it's fun. It's definitely a good sale game. I think, like, if you've already played this, not out of like Ghost of Tsushima and done everything you can, like, this is probably the next best place to go. You can actually do missions online co-op with people, like, but I think those are more like singular missions. It's fun. And that's kind of the big thing for me. It's really fun. It does hit hard like a Souls game, but it has a difficulty to it. Like, or there's like a, you can change the settings if you really want. But it's really fun when it hits hard because like you have some fights that are just like so intense. You like, I'm like, whew, like I can't believe I made it out of that. It definitely feels like, it feels really good. So I do recommend it if you really have nothing to play, but definitely a good sale game. Like I could see this being an easy get for like 30-40 bucks, but I still like it personally. And then it just feeds into, like I said, the whole Shogun thing. Like Shogun takes place in like the 1500s, 1600s, and then this is like much further in like the 1800s. It had me looking up whether samurai were still around at the time, because it's definitely more like, and I love how the theme carries, because Shogun is more like the Western influence coming into this land. And then with this, it's even more on the nose because it's actual American ships. And they call them black ships, just like they do in Shogun, too. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, that's interesting. But you definitely see, like, that's the theme with all this stuff lately. And I find it interesting because I did look it up, and samurai, like, were a thing up until, like, the mid-1800s, or, like, until the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And this is, like...
A samurai could send a fax to Lincoln.
Isn't that
crazy?
So that's what's wild.
Oh, man.
And then so it's interesting because like it really kind of makes time feel so not insignificant but so like small. And then even the world, because like then I was into like Skull and Bones at the time, and then Shogun introduces you through like the pirate character and stuff like that. Like it really puts a perspective on like where everything happened at in the world, you know, at the time between those time periods. So it just made the world, makes the world feel like so much smaller to me. And it was just like, I feel like I've been getting like a history lesson through all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's been really interesting, because then I'll look it up if I want to know more about it. And so, like, I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm okay with this. Like, I thought this was a kick that was going to go away at some point, but nope, I'm still in it. So, it's fun. I'm enjoying the game. I'm probably going to go, after I finish this, I'll probably actually go and finish that Ghost of Tsushima DLC and clean that game up, because I still want to get the platinum on that game, too. So, yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Shelley, what have you been playing?
I played a little bit more Dave the Diver, actually, mostly because I'm going to Hawaii soon, and I'm probably going to go snorkeling. I was thinking, like, oh, I want to see some of the fish that I'm going to see when I'm snorkeling, because definitely there are some of those, right? Although it is so weird how, like, Dave the Diver, it's there's real fish, or it's based on real fish, and life, but then it's also definitely not actually a real place that you go, and sushi that may or may not exist. I don't know. I'm not a huge expert in sushi, so I wouldn't really know that. Yeah. And you just can still, I don't know. I got to this part where I had to like blow up some rocks, and I'm like, I don't feel good blowing up stuff underwater. Like, that feels weird. Then I had to fight guys underwater. I'm like, what type of game? Basically, I kind of get confused the type of game this is. Like, I feel like it keeps going back and forth. Like, is it an exploration game?
The further you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a, like a shop sim kind of vibe where you run your shop? Is it is it like Endless Ocean? Is it like Moonlighter? Is it like, I don't know, but then I was like, why am I fighting people underwater? That's so like, that's just so absurd. It's kind of an absurd game. Not a bad game, obviously. Like,
you wanted that tropical vibe though, you know? Like, you
exactly. And I got that. And you know what's cool? I don't know if I mentioned it before, but we had a cool moment in the Geeks Under Grace Discord. I think it was a little while ago. It was maybe last month or so. One of the composers, there's multiple composers, but one of the composers read our Dave the Diver article on our website, which you can check out, of course. And so he found our Discord and decided to like us. And that was really cool. I was I see your name on this music. Which it was just very, very cool.
That's awesome.
Yep. That game is still weird. I do like it. None of these things are bad. Like, none of these things are like bad things. It's just like, it's such a weird game. So
it was one I definitely fell off of. Like, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, so I'd like to still beat it, but I just haven't. But again, inspiration from going to Hawaii. The other game I played was, it's called Oh Dear. I think it's still in early access. And it's a party game. I was playing with some friends online, and it is so silly, guys. It is more absurd.
I love the name.
The Diver. Yeah, so the whole premise, it's a party game, right? So you can play with up to like four other people, so I think it's five total you could play with, and one person is the hunter and everyone else is deer. And the hunter's goal is to hunt down the player deer, because there's you basically plopped in a map that looks like a forest, and there's other deer that are like AI NPCs, right? Like an amazing
community game, and I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah. And they basically, if you're a player deer, you want to blend in and look like the other deer. You want to look like a regular deer, because the secret is that you're not really a regular deer. You eat mushrooms, not grass. Regular deer eat grass. Okay, and so you need mushrooms, because if you get too hungry, then you will stand on your two feet. And you can like dash around. You could fart. Farting's mechanic in this game, where you can like basically do like a big boost of speed. But basically, the hunter's trying to hunt you down. They can sort of tell when you get hungry. When you munch on a mushroom, they kind of get like an indicator like, oh, someone munched in this direction. It's like you have super hearing or something. Oh, you also have little trail cams that can sort of, that you can place to track where, like if someone does something within that trailer, the trail cam, it'll pick it up. So, very absurd. and very silly because you're just kind of running around trying to eat these mushrooms and not get caught if you're a deer. But if you're the hunter, you're trying to, like, you know, shoot arrows at them, hunt them down. And there's a sanity meter. So if the hunter shoots a non-player deer, sanity will go down, aka insanity will go up. And if you shoot a player deer, your sanity will go up, and aka insanity will go down. So basically, the more sane you are, you want to be sane. And the only way to be sane is to correctly shoot the player deer by discerning which ones are the player deer and not the NPC deer. And then at the end, yeah, it's only 10 bucks. Early access, so there's still some hiccups, but it ran really smoothly for the most part. It was just like some balancing things. You can really customize everything, which is cool. Like if you host a party, you can customize like everyone's speed and like arrow shots and resources. So that's pretty fun. And there's two maps, I believe. At least we were on two different maps we explored. But the kind of the kicker is either the hunter. So the hunter wins if he or she kills all the player deer, obviously. But if they run out of sanity, then the hunter needs to run into one of the cabins. There's a couple cabins. There's like one specific cabin they need to run to. And the deer, the regular deer all go away. The player deer turn into monsters and run after the hunter and try to kill the hunter. And the hunter can either survive by making it to the cabin first or will get killed by the deer. And so the deer only win if they are able to kill the hunter.
That sounds amazing.
It's really silly, very funny. Especially because when you die as a player deer, you basically can see everything that's going on. It's kind of like in Minecraft creative mode. It's the same controls where you could just like see the whole map. You can see everything that's going on. So then you could just see like your teammates running around.
I want to be like, hey, I'm buying this for you and you're playing it with me.
Yeah.
Like, I already...
Yeah, no, I think it'd be super fun to play for, like, a Pledge Drive or live level up event or something. I would just be super on board. Very, very fun and silly. And, again, you could just have, like, a group of, like, five people play this. Or less. We had four, and it was still really fun.
Okay, so it's five? Nice.
Yeah, so I feel like it'd be very hard to win as the deer if there were only, like, two. Especially when you get down to just one deer, it's, like, really hard. But it's possible, so... No, super fun. Highly recommend. And yeah, that's what I played this week. Oh, I actually want to mention here too, technically it's kind of a other thing I'm geeking out about, but so gaming connected that I'm just going to talk about now. I made my new computer. I built it. Yeah. I've been collecting parts since, I ordered the case in December because it was the special Persona 3 Reload high-T crossover thing. So they had those on pre-order, and the case was supposed to ship in February, and it definitely didn't. It shipped, like, a month late, but it's fine. It's fine. I got it eventually, and then I got all the other parts, and I'm just really happy with it. It looks beautiful. It runs beautifully so far, and I'm really just doing kind of a fresh start. I didn't really transfer all that much from my old computer. I'm trying to, like, only have what I really need kind of thing, so... Mm. But I'm really excited to play some of these games that I just kind of haven't been doing because my old computer just wasn't strong enough. Witcher 3 is one that I played a long time ago and I rage quit. And I told myself eventually I would go back and play it again because everyone's like, oh my gosh, Witcher 3 is so good. And I remember they had that next gen update and I thought, wow, I'd want to play the next gen update. My computer is not strong enough for that. So now my computer is. So that's exciting. Yes. And my computer's also strong enough to run all these VR games that I have. It barely was strong enough to run, like, Beat Saber and stuff, but it was rough. So, thankfully, my new computer, I haven't tried it with the VR headset yet, but I'm looking forward to trying it out and seeing how it goes. At this point, it's about making my space a little bit more VR-friendly. That's going to be more of the challenge at this point, but I'm really excited to, you know, it's like I have all these games in my backlog and I've been doing backlog golf and now I finally have an excuse to sort of like push on some of these games I've been abandoning, right? Because I'm just like, oh, I don't want to, you know, do this on my old computer. It's not going to run well, blah, blah, blah. I have no excuses anymore. I can do it. So, I'll be able to take long walks in VR Skyrim eventually. I just need to... You know, get all set up and stuff. But Yeah.
Cool. I also forgot, I played last week, a couple weeks ago, was Skull and Bones.
You did, oh, yeah. Right. I watched you stream it.
On Twitch. There's not much to say. It's not great.
It definitely takes a while to get going, because like now my buddy and I are at a point where we've actually leveled up some and we have stuff, and now the season one update has added some stuff, so it was like really neat. Like we fought like the sea creature together, and then he and I also did this bounty of this like boss ship that we had to take down. So it's like it definitely takes a while, but it's definitely a slog at first.
Yeah.
When I was punching trees but not getting out of my boat to do so,
yeah,
I was like, I'm dead.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely.
Which luckily was towards the end of my stream. But it was like, go gather these things. I'm like, oh, well, how do I get out of the boat? And it was like, oh, you don't. You just go up to the shoreline and press a button. And I was like, yeah, I'm good.
But also, your boat has a stamina meter?
Yeah. What's so it's
and your boat
on?
Has a stamina meter. Yeah. They get tired.
I mean, it makes sense if your guys are like, I don't know.
No, I was so frustrated.
Yeah, no. People that definitely don't like that. I mean, it's a video game, you know, so I'm just like, whatever. Like, if you have to do it, that's fine.
I feel like the other one, what I can never remember the name of it.
Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves. I think I missed my calling that I would have really liked Sea of Thieves. My problem with Sea of Thieves was it was too multiplayer. You really have a hard time playing that by yourself. Yeah. Whereas this, you could play by yourself a little bit more.
This is hard. Like, Skull and Bones is hard MMO. Like once you kind of play it a little more, or if you haven't seen it already, it's literally just pick up quests, go do this thing, pick up quests. Like,
yeah.
That's what...
Yeah. I know, so right. I was watching Cody's stream, and I was just like, okay, this looks like a bunch of fetch quests so far.
It is.
I'm like,
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It takes a while.
I think their original plan was probably to have it be Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, in an MMO world, like a multiplayer world, and then Sea of Thieves came out, and they're like, well, we can't do that.
It wasn't even going to be like an MMO world at first. It was going to be more like a multiplayer, like an online multiplayer game. Where it's like just like matches of like fleet on fleet kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know? But then
I would have been okay with that.
Then I think they maybe pivoted, is what I think happened.
I think Sea of Thieves made them really change course.
Yes.
Pun intended.
Definitely pun intended there.
Nice.
But they missed the mark. For sure.
I did get some, and see, even my buddy and I, like, Helldivers took any interest. Like, we were, because he and I were going to be like, yeah, let's get into this. Then when Helldivers came out, we all jumped on that. So a few days ago, we actually went back and played more of this, and we're like, okay, that was actually, because we weren't that excited to play it. We were just like, oh, we need to give this some more time, you know? Like, but then we're like, okay, yeah, this is actually fun. So there's definitely takes a while to at least have.
I wanted Destiny in. With Black Flag mechanics.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely.
I wanted shared world, get my pirate ship and go, and then go to different islands and then like do stuff on those islands.
Yeah, no, the islands you don't do anything on. You get to go walk onto some, but that's mostly for like trading and like talking with people and stuff like that. Like it's definitely like my best comparison is Sid Meier's Pirates, and that's like a game from like 2003 or something. But
okay,
yeah. Anyway.
I don't know. My highlight of that stream was I was wearing this pirate hat during the whole stream.
Yes.
And I found a very similar hat.
It was perfect.
In the game.
That's awesome.
So that was fun. I was slowly cosplaying into my character. But
that is pretty good.
Yeah. Anyways, we can move on. That was just... It's a game. It exists. Yeah. If you really... It might be for someone. There might be someone out there that is like, I want a point-and-click MMO with like, pirate ships.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. I just wanted more Black Flag.
See, I'm the type of person that gets on kicks, you know, every couple months, you know? So it's like, if you really need something to scratch that itch, that's probably good for that, you know?
Totally,
Even though you could just go play Black Flag if you wanted to. But Black Flag feels a little outdated at this point. Like, it's not, like, it's still an amazing game, but, like, I'm playing it, like, a few months back. I'm like, okay, yeah, I could see why Ubisoft might want to actually remake this. So.
You know what would be cool? is an Assassin's Creed Black Flag 2.
I think they've already said they're going to remake Black Flag, but yeah. More pirate give me a stuff sequel. Would not hurt at all.
I'd be like, down for a sequel.
Then they have Freedom Cry, where you play as like his first mate kind of guy. That was like DLC, which was cool.
Yeah. Did they have, it was a weird, didn't they have like a weird,
it was like super linear.
Yeah, it might be what I'm thinking of. No, I'm thinking of, it might have been AC3. It was Assassin's Creed, was it Rogue?
Oh, yeah, when you play as Aveline. Or no, Rogue was the Black Flag spinoff, actually.
Was a spinoff? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because that was you play as Shay Carmack, I think, was
his name. I haven't played it. I just remember it coming out.
Yeah, because you're technically like a bad guy in that game, or like I think you end up switching sides or something. Like that's the whole big pull of that one.
Okay.
And there are HD versions of those on like Switch, and I think they have an HD version of like Rogue you can play on like modern consoles now too.
That'd be cool.
Yep.
Okay. What's going on in the gaming world?
yeah. We should... So the gaming world, not like a ton of news. I do want to just mention some things. I did mention a few weeks back that Toys for Bob was actually not closing down, that they were working on a partnership with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And apparently that partnership deal has been, they've worked on an agreement. So they're going to be working on a game that they say is very similar to what they've done before. And so they make a comment that's like, oh, keep your ears and your horns out or something like that. Or like for more, you know, like basically like keep an eye out for more. And so everybody's like, oh, does that mean that they're going to do a new Spyro game? I know a lot of people like yourself would really want a Banjo-Kazooie game, which
yes.
Me, it's like, why wouldn't you? Like, I know.
Yeah, everyone wants a Banjo-Kazooie game. Yeah.
Like a good one, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're going to give me nuts and bolts, too.
Yeah, not nuts and bolts. So, like, you technically could do a Spyro 4, kind of like Crash 4, you know, like if you want to do that, but I feel like with Microsoft, they have to go with Banjo-Kazooie. Like, it'd be dumb for them not to. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm excited. Whatever they work on, I think will be fine. The thing I feel like would be really weird if they went out of left field is there used to be this game on original Xbox called Voodoo Vince, and it was like a character platformer like that. Mm-hmm. I would find it extremely hilarious if they tried to bring that back. Because I know Phil Spencer, the boss Xbox like president, he's a Voodoo Vince fan. So I'd kind of laugh if that was the thing. I'm like, nobody wants this thing. Nobody wants that. They want Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
But I just think it would be extremely funny if they went and did that. So, but give us
Banjo 3E.
Ah.
Banjo 2E.
Yeah.
So silly.
Yeah. They could do something like that. I don't know. They'd have to... A fun title, I think, would be great.
Yeah. It'd be really fun.
Yeah. Toys for Bob is not going anywhere. They're still making their stuff, which is good. The other news I feel like I shouldn't even have to even put here. Overwatch is apparently making some major changes with their Season 10 update, which... which might get me back into the game. They're not locking their characters into seasoned battle passes anymore, which I think is great that you turned around and made.
It's weird that they do that in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't y'all just not do that? They do have a cool thing you can do. I saw that they're gonna let you unlock some of the older, like legendary, like rarer, like cosmetics, and you can actually put, I think, your currency to that too, which I think is kind of cool. So it's like, if there's these really awesome skins that you missed out on in past seasons, like you can actually like
put
some of those points and some of that currency you're unlocking in Overwatch onto that. So that's kind of cool. That sounds like a fun thing. This isn't happening till April. So I'll check it out when they make that update. But I played a ton Overwatch 1.
Yeah.
And a good part of Overwatch 2. But when we dropped off of it, me and my buddies were like, yeah, like there's no point in going back because you're already being locked away at stuff. You're being locked out of stuff, like, already. So it's just, like, there was no point. So now I might be interested to go back because I played so much of Overwatch. So I'm down to see what they got cooking and see if those changes are worth it. And so I might be back. So
cool.
I'll have to report on that when it comes out. But that's gaming news.
Cool. We will get into the movies then. None of us saw a movie, LJ, except you.
Yeah.
Which Roadhouse did you see?
I watched the movie, the new one.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Heck yeah.
I forgot to specify.
I really want to watch it. It looks good. Yes.
It's out now. It's super fun. Jake Gyllenhaal's good. They have a bunch of other... I feel like all the characters are kind of fun. Conor McGregor is a dang madman in the movie. Definitely violent, obviously. A movie about fighting. It is super, super cheesy. So my best comparison feels like it feels like a mid-2000s action movie.
Oh.
Which makes me think of like Walking Tall, like a bunch of the movies that like The Rock did.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I love those movies.
Because the story kind of ends up being about like, oh, there's this bigger problem in this community of people, you know, kind of a thing. And you got this dude from out of town who's just like, oh, like who gets kind of caught in the middle of everything. And I think it's super fun. Like, it reminds me of an era that like, oh, I'm like, yeah, we don't get like these stupid, dumb popcorn action movies like anymore like this these days. It definitely reminds me of like that and like Transporter 2. And it's just those movies that are just so dumb. That's like, yeah, like you don't expect this to be something amazing. You go to watch it and to see some people get hit and maybe like get a few laughs out of it.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it definitely does the thing like I think we expected it was going to do when we first saw the trailer. Like, it looked like dumb fun, and that is totally what the movie is. So, yeah.
Cool. Sounds fun.
There's not really much more to say. It makes me want to go watch more Jake Gyllenhaal stuff again, though. So, like...
Yeah.
I enjoy the stuff he's in. Like, I really do. So, yeah.
Cool. We'll get into the movie news then.
Sweet. Okay.
Shelly, what's going on?
Yeah, so... Couple things. We do have a trailer for Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Jenna Ortega. I've never been a Beetlejuice person, but I'm sure people are really excited about it. I don't know.
I'm glad I watched the movie last year because everything feels so fresh in my mind now because I rewatched it.
To me, it makes me just think, oh, it's Hollywood doing its Hollywood thing again, or taking like these old sort of nostalgic things and making something supposedly new, but probably just for money. But who knows? Maybe it could be really good.
But aren't they actually doing like stop motion with it? If I remember correctly,
I have no idea. I don't remember.
I think they actually like went back to basics, which would be cool.
But I know Tim Burton is involved in it too, so like I think he would definitely wouldn't just like make something that I feel like cash grabby.
Yeah.
True. I think you're right.
But, I mean, Jenna Ortega is obviously one of his new favorite actors because, you know, she, you know, Wednesday, you know, like, even Wednesday ended up being really good as far as something that could have been super cash grabby, you know, like, especially, like, capitalizing on that property. But, yeah, I mean, I hope Beetlejuice, the sequel does seem decent, I mean, at least as far as we could tell. There's definitely the references there, like, the funeral scene is definitely like, oh, probably the dad passed away or something. They didn't really say. But then when Jenna Ortega uncovers the, you know, the basement and, you know, she goes in and stuff like that. Like, I'm just like, ooh, like, yeah, like, it's definitely going to be one of those. The plot is definitely doesn't seem like it's going to be that original. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, here's all these characters we do know from the past. And they're going to go up to the spot that nobody's been in for all these years, so.
Yep.
It's definitely set up to be a cash grab, but I think it'll be more special than that.
I'm like, I always hope for the best. I just expect the worst. Yeah. That's kind of how definitely. I operate. Hope for the best, expect the worst.
Yeah. Like, I want to enjoy it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so. Totally. Besides that, we also have, there are talks for Scarlett Johansson to be in the next Jurassic World movie. I think we mentioned it before on the podcast that they're trying to, like, replace the... Not, like, replace it in an aggressive way, but I think they're just moving on to a new sort of cast of characters. Chris Pratt's era is done.
They're going to reset.
No more Chris Pratt. Yeah, they're kind of just doing a new thing, new characters. So I think Scarlett Johansson is potentially going to be kind of the new lead, which would be, I think, really cool as someone who... honestly doesn't watch any Jurassic movies. I watched Jurassic Park. I really like that, but I haven't seen any of the others, I'll be honest. But I don't know. I feel like I really like Terrence Black Widow, and I think everyone else agrees with that we all just love Scarlett Johansson. So I have full respect for her potentially taking on a new role like this, because I think one thing that's always sad when like a character, especially in a big series like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, dies off. Sorry, Black Widow
died. She might have got done dirty a little bit, you know, like as far as like the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that they like made a movie for her, but it was after her character died in the present. It was so weird, and I want her to be treated with respect. Yeah. And I think it'd be cool if
that movie would have done so well after Winter Soldier.
It would have been perfect. It was already that vibe, kind of, right? So
it would have been good, like, however many years ago. I think we all said that.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're thinking, but either way, I just think Scarlett could do a good job in something like Jurassic World. But also, truth be told, I'm not very invested in that series. But yeah, I just it'd be fun to see her on screen again. I guess is all I'm saying. It's not like she's her action career is done. Will you get into
Jurassic
like,
just for ScarJo?
I don't know. Maybe.
Dinosaurs.
Not much to be said there, though. I mean, that's not confirmed at all. It's just all kind of hearsay. It's all rumors.
Yeah.
We want to share.
I need her to do more sci-fi stuff. I guess Jurassic World is sci-fi, technically.
But yeah. Like, yeah, it's a different
Lucy
kind of sci-fi.
And I don't know when, like, Tip of Ghost in the Shell was a lot of fun.
The Island of Ewan McGregor, too, which was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Another sci-fi, yeah.
I haven't seen that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there's that. And then finally, we got a little bit more news about the Legend of Zelda movie. We already know it's going to be live action. I think we've talked about that before, how that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
In fact, quite disappointing, I think, to be honest.
Anime is the correct medium.
For Zelda, absolutely. Totally agree with that.
Japanese or even 2D animation.
Or something, yeah. Just live action. I don't know. So basically, they're saying that it's going to be a more serious movie. And my interpretation of that is just that it's going to be really different than the Mario movie. I feel like the Mario movie, we were all like, what type of movie is Mario going to be? Like, Mario doesn't really have, I mean, technically he has story and characters, but it's kind of, you know, like you're mostly there for the gameplay when you're playing those games. But then what they did with the Mario movie, obviously, was just make a bunch of references and kind of make their own original story, which, like, definitely worked, right? Made so much money. But I think with them calling the Legend of Zelda movie serious, I think it's less serious as in, like, you know, mature or whatever. I think that just means that they're going to actually either take a story from something they've already made, like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, or something.
It's not going to be, like, Zack Snyder series.
Yeah, I think it's just as a matter of they're not going to be as, it's not going to be as silly and as chaotic as the Mario movie was. Because that movie was really weird, okay? Like, it was really weird, if you think about it. That movie was strange.
it was more of an Illumination movie than a Mario movie.
Totally was. I agree. So I think with Zelda, I think them saying that they're, taking it more serious, I think it just means that they're going to be a little bit, I mean, Mario in its own way was respectful to its source material, but I think this is, like, Zelda has a different level of things going on, right? It's not as chaotic. Yeah. There's actually really
big... Is Peter Jackson involved to just make it a Lord of the Rings thing?
Yeah, see, like, I was about to say, like, Zelda has the chance to be, like, the Hobbit, but, like, good. You know, like...
Please. Seriously, yeah.
I don't know if I could take Bokoblins. I never can say them right. Bokoblins. I don't know if I could take them seriously.
Bokoblins.
Tomato, tomato.
Bokoblins. Bokoblins. They're goofy.
They're pretty. They're goofy little guys. They're just little guys. How you look at it.
And then if you make them look like orcs, I'm just going to be... Sometimes. It's going to be dumb.
Like, yeah, and again, I don't know if that's necessarily what it's trying to do. I don't know. I think there's a missed opportunity here where... you're just talking about how Mario felt very much like an Illumination movie. That's more so than just like a Nintendo movie. And it's kind of a shame how I feel like Nintendo is just so late on the movie front that they are just, like, they did Illumination, which is fine. You know, obviously that worked and made so much money. And now they're doing this with live action. And I don't know, it's just, it feels like a missed opportunity for me because I think we're kind of in a little bit of a animation golden age, a little bit.
Bit of a renaissance, I'd say. Yeah.
Renaissance, yeah, I think that's a better term for that. It's like, ever since Into the Spider-Verse kind of, like, kicked off this love for animation again, not just 3D animation, but also 2D animation. I think people really, really are starting to appreciate it, especially when we're seeing all these... Yeah, when we're seeing all these live-action remakes that people don't like out of Disney, right? And we're seeing the Avatar live-action, we're seeing all this live-action stuff that people just aren't digging, and I, you know, I, one hand, I respect their choice to do live action Zelda. I just feel like it could have been so much better and even really well received to do, and yeah, like an anime style movie or 2D animation, or heck, they could even do 3D animation again, but maybe different, like not necessarily Illumination style. I think could have been really well received, and who knows, maybe they, I mean, I have to trust that they know what they're doing, but at the same time, I just feel like it's kind of a safe play to just be like, oh, we're gonna do a live action. I don't know. I obviously am just coping because I wanted it to be anime and it's not going to be, and I'm sad. Yeah. But that's just me. That's just me molding in the corner. But that's our movie news.
Yeah. Cool. We will get into TV then. Couple things. Delicious Dungeon finally got rated MA.
Did not need to happen.
So dumb. So those want to know, like, oh, can I watch this or not?
We, you
know,
were waiting for that. For
I was like, we've been waiting for the updates.
Yeah, we've been waiting for that.
It is a bath scene, and they don't really show anything, but it's two girl, like, that's... the two female characters, girl characters, women characters, nude, taking a bath, and then... Yeah, the hair kind of covers up everything, so...
That's very stereotypical.
Depending on how old you are, you know, keep that in mind. But it literally didn't need to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, fan service.
They could have had a whole conversation without it, and then the show would have been rated, like, PG-13, whatever that is for TV show. Because of that
one scene, I bet you.
Yeah. I will say, there's a ton of technical gore in that last episode, too. Okay. But the animation style is just so, like, cutesy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it doesn't really...
Yeah, it doesn't really, like, faze you. One of the
characters is covered in blood, but it just looks like they're covered in red, you know? That doesn't...
Yeah. That show definitely doesn't take itself that seriously. Like, it's meant to be, like, yeah. Like...
Yeah, it's really goofy. So I would say, you know, don't watch it with kids if you're a younger teenager, or have a younger teenager. Probably not great for them quite yet. But as an adult, if what bothers you, you know? I was bummed. I was like, maybe it'll just be a fine show.
Yeah.
And the worst part is the tone is very much made for, like, young teens. There's a few curse words in there, but for the most part, it's just dumb fun. So.
Cool.
That was dumb.
Yeah.
And the other show is Shogun. I am caught up. LJ, you're not caught up? You haven't watched anymore?
No. I think I'm on, like, episode 4, I think.
Okay, and I think there's 5 episodes. I think I've watched episode 5.
Okay, cool. Because it, I'll say this. It definitely is a slow build, like the first two, maybe 2.5 episodes. But now it's starting to get real good. Now I'm like, ooh, here we go.
Well,
like,
I will say, unfortunately, 5 is pretty slow in itself.
Okay.
But still a good show. I really love the show.
Still, like, even though it was slow, like, the build-up, like, in those first couple episodes was still really good. Like, I'm still enjoying the show a lot. And now it's kind of... Now I feel like it's definitely getting to where, like, okay, here's what the main plot is, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
almost bummed that we're only getting one season. I mean, it could totally be worth more.
Yeah, we'll see how it ends. I would watch this. I've heard that it's because of the ending is why they made this show. Like, they wanted it to be in the show.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if things end well or not. To me, that, you know.
Yeah, we don't know. Elgin, gotta watch Persecution or Silence, so you know the the ending.
Well, and then
in
based on, I know, like, this isn't anything to go off because the game doesn't take itself seriously, but, like, Rise of the Ronin is also about, you know, the cultural, like,
shift.
So I'm just like, I don't expect Shogun to end well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
not
like,
for the Christian faith, at least.
Well, yeah, that too. But just like the
outlawed for hundreds of years.
The culture overtaking, like, the Japan, and just, like, everybody trying to get a piece of what's there is kind of, like, the theme I've been seeing a lot lately.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's really crazy that they preserve their culture. Literally hundreds of years.
And that's why I was tripping out when I read that, like, oh, samurai lasted until the late 1800s. Like, that's fascinating. That's super crazy. Like, I'd never knew that. Like, so, yeah.
What's that ninja... I can't remember the name of it. It might just be Cowboys and Ninjas. But there is some... I don't think that's what it was called. But it's about a samurai that, like, comes from Japan to the Old West. and then does a bunch of kung fu stuff around cowboys. Old movie. If it's the one I'm thinking of, Toby Max, one of Toby Max's songs was like the trailer song for it.
That's random.
Yeah, so weird. Toby Max's music is in a lot of weird stuff. He's in like, I don't know, it was Fight Club or some kind of Fight Club like show. Yeah. The Slam is playing while they're fighting. And I'm like, this song is about
that
Jesus.
That reminds me of, I heard a Tadashi song in this random part of Mythic Quest, that show on Apple TV. I'm like, what? Like, why'd they use this song? I mean, it kind of fits. I'm just like, how'd they get that? Like, I'm like, does somebody so low key like, are somebody low key like a CHH fan? Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, I wanted to know. So yeah, I definitely get that. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. Anyways, what did you watch instead, LJ?
Before I get into the thing I really want to nerd out about, I watched, so the Arc animated series Shadow dropped on Paramount Plus this week.
Okay.
And it's not bad. It's kind of interesting. It's traditional 2D animation, which I'm very happy about. I'm like, that's cool. This one has a bunch of voice actors in it. I think they announced this during like the Game Awards one year or something like that when they revealed Arc 2. But then we didn't hear anything about it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, guess what's out? I like it. It's fine. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it feels like, I don't know if there was this time where video games and like movies and things were getting these like animated like spinoff kind of things. Like, I remember like they had like the Riddick anime spinoff and they had like a Van Helsing animated spinoff. And I think maybe some games did back in the day too. But it just feels like that era of like, oh, I could see this showing up on like an HBO or something, or like this random, like, oh, hey, we did this thing to be a video game tie-in or whatever, like, this property tie-in. The concept of it's kind of cool. It's like, because basically in Arc, you show up on the beach with this mysterious, like, thing stuck in your arm or whatever. And it has to do with, like, the relics that are placed in that world. But in the show, they have it as, like, oh, people are all these people that show up here are from different times, you know? Like, so it's really fascinating what they do that way, you know? Like, you know, the main girl's from the modern times and you see flashbacks of her life. There's somebody that's from like, there's this guy that the main character that comes across is this dude's from World War II, you know, or like, you know, stuff like that. Like he's like, so did we win? And she's like, well, yeah, we did, you know, that kind of a thing. Like, so it's really interesting the direction they went with that. But yeah, I might check out more of it. I definitely put that on before I fell asleep for like 3 hours on Thursday. When I got from work, but I liked it. The cool thing that this is like, I feel like this is my time right now because everybody's asking about the X-Men now. The X-Men are like back in popularity.
Yeah.
So I watched both episodes of X-Men 97. Super, super good. I think it's better than I expected just because like they're doing really fascinating stuff with the story.
Mm-hmm.
They've already said this in, like, announcements and stuff, but Magneto is kind of, he's all intents and purposes the leader of the X-Men now. Like, Charles left everything in his will and testament to Magneto. And so that's kind of interesting because you get Cyclops dealing with, like, oh, like, so I'm not good enough? And, like, Cyclops is my boy. He's my main. He's, you know, he's always been my main. And they definitely, I'm saying that like a fighting game because he definitely, they made him Marvel versus Capcom, like, straight up Scott. Like, that dude, the choreography in this show is awesome. Like, they have him do some really neat things that I'm like, yes. Like, finally, like, Cyclops isn't the chump they made him out to be in the movies. And I think a lot of characters get, like, their time to shine in these two episodes. Magneto especially has a really interesting character arc. I want everybody who's interested to watch it. You don't necessarily need to go back and watch the old show, I would say. Mm-hmm. As long as you have a baseline understanding of who, like, most of the X-Men are, then that's totally cool. Because the last season or two of the original show was, like, kind of rough. But they're getting into some comic-related plot lines that I don't think anybody expected. I'm not going to spoil because I want everybody to go watch, but there's also some, this could be said, there's also some stuff that's pretty on the nose about, like, dealing with equality and stuff like that. But that's right. always been X-Men's thing. You know? Like, there's definitely people out there that are going to be like, oh, X-Men's too woke or whatever. It's like, no, X-Men are the OGs. That was Stanley's whole point of the X-Men was, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm just like, they definitely lean into that. Not too much. There is some, like, dashes of it in there. There's literally a line this character says that's like, oh, I was born this way or something like that. And I'm just like, ooh, okay. There's, like, some legit, like, lingo and terminology in there you would hear, like, certain mm-hmm. social groups use. And I'm just like, okay, like, that's fine. Because that's what this is, you know? Like, I'm okay.
I think, like, yeah, you have to really know the history of X-Men to kind of realize, yes. like, that's always been the case with them.
Yes.
It's kind
yes.
of the point of the X-Men was to uh-huh. be that commentary.
Yes, it's, yeah, definitely that commentary is still there. And I feel like now it's more than ever. I think it needs to be there. I think even from my perspective, who, you know, I am, you know, obviously a believer in certain things. Like, there's definitely, like, being in the secular world and especially working in the secular world has opened my mind to a lot of things and really shown me how to, like, love people for who they are first, you know, before anything. And so it just makes me, I do kind of feel like, okay, yeah, like, this is maybe the time to, you know, like, this is okay here. Like, this is okay yeah. for them to do this right now. And but mostly X-Men's getting back in the limelight, you know, with Marvel. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is, they definitely, X-Men got, like, the cold shoulder, especially, like, after, like, the MCU stuff was happening, because both comics, like, Fantastic Four and X-Men, those got put on a major back burner. But now we're getting to the point in the MCU where, like, oh, people like this stuff. Let's introduce this stuff. And so we're getting that now, and I'm excited. Like, this is like, and then so now anytime anybody has questions now or is wanting to know, I'm like, ooh, I'm the guy. I'm your guy. I'm here. I've been right here the whole time. So it's just an exciting time for me and other X-Men fans.
We're super good. Chilling.
So,
yeah. Love that.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to be excited to see you. What else they do with the show. I think there's 10 episodes and they already put out 2. So, yeah, we still got more to go.
Cool. And then, Shelly, what have you been watching?
Not much to say about it. Obviously, I won't go off. Just watching the original Avatar. I don't need to watch live
yeah.
action.
Yeah, no live action.
Watching the original and it's still so good.
It is. Bless you.
Sorry. Oh, that's
we're all sick.
I know.
It's contagious. We all got something going on.
Yeah, different states, but I still gave it to you guys. We'll get into the TV news then. But Avatar: Last Airbender is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't really know where to start. They're all trailers. So let's do the first one. Will be the Penguin on DC, because the other ones two are Disney Plus.
So good.
It is like the Godfather in Gotham. He's talking about this like
in Gotham. Oh my god.
Yeah, old school mob boss that he looks up to because they threw a parade in his neighborhood when he was a kid, and which is so weird. Like it feels very like almost childish that he's just like, oh, I want to be like him now that I'm.
It's almost up. Like they just let Colin Farrell sit there and just monologue like for a good minute.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
So the good. Character that they chose, I can't remember his name, Rex something, is an actual DC comic character, comic nod, mm-hmm. pre-Batman in the comics as well. So that's really interesting, I thought. But it looks like it's going to be really good. And I thought the idea sounded so stupid.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's literally just a monologue that you're getting, but Colin Farrell does such a good job.
I mean, that's
a
dang Marlon Brando situation right there. Like, there's, like, the most famous, you know, like, usually it's, you know, Marlon Brando sitting there, you know, talking, you know, as people are going to meet him, you know, that kind of a thing, like, and ask for favors, you know, like, that's what that scene feels like. Or at least that's what
the feels I'm like. Curious, like, how it'll go down, if this is going to be, like, a weird, like, Breaking Bad situation where he just slowly... Mm-hmm. digs himself deeper and deeper into a hole and then Batman comes along, but yeah, I'd be curious how
it makes me want to watch that movie again though, like
The Godfather,
or I mean both, I mean just Batman and Godfather,
like, oh yeah, the Batman, yeah
yeah
yeah. I'm actually kind of excited for it, and I didn't think I would be,
and it comes out in October, I think, or this fall at least, so it's
pretty soon,
it's coming.
Yeah. The other one I'm really excited for is The Acolyte. Star Wars has got me kind of captured. I can't lie. The quality doesn't look bad. I don't want to say that. But it looks... like, the story feels like some kind of fan-made story. Like, it doesn't feel like something that would be really made for Star Wars.
I don't even know what the story is. The trailer didn't give me enough information.
I think
it's a High Republic Sith story.
Okay.
If it's not the first Sith, because my wife doesn't think it's the first Sith, and that might be wrong. But they all seem really surprised by that red lightsaber. And so I'm like, is this the first time that we've seen a red lightsaber?
Could be. We have no idea. Like, I know people who have been into the High Republic stuff lately are, like, real geeking out about it because there's already been books.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited. Like, I'm like, this feels detached, like, from all the Skywalker stuff and everything like that. Like,
right.
And it's not so detached like maybe, I think, Andor is. But, I mean, it still feels like... within that realm, it's like, oh, we're getting Jedi and stuff, but this is so far in the past that, like, it doesn't matter.
And I'm really curious about that, too, is, like, Andor came out, and I kept preaching it, like, that Star Wars was better without Jedi. But then Ahsoka came out, and I was like, okay, it's really good when you lean into the Jedi, if you, like, lean into that fantasy side of things.
Maybe it's good without Skywalker.
Maybe it's Skywalkers. It's good without Skywalkers. I don't know. But this actually looks pretty neat. And that's got a bunch of Jedi in it.
The cameos kind of didn't help Mandalorian or Boba Fett at all. Like, I feel like we could have done without the cameos. Easy.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I'm excited for it. The other show maybe will be exciting. I was mostly annoyed because... this trailer for Doctor Who Season 1, which, why is it Season 1? I guess...
a little misleading.
Because it's technically, it's Disney's Doctor Who, but I think that it's a continuation of the story. There's no way they're going to take away 60 years
that
of...
it feels dirty, just, like, when you say it that way. Like,
yeah, Disney's. Like, only on Disney Channel. Well, Disney Plus.
Join the club with Marvel, disappointed Marvel and Star Wars fans, I guess.
Yeah, but what was frustrating me was the fact that the tower at the very beginning of this trailer looks exactly like the Avengers Tower with a different logo on it, which I'm sure is intentional. Bruh. But there were three different times that I was like, Marvel stuff?
Marvel?
And then no I was like, oh, way. Doctor Who stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. He's fighting a bunch of supernatural things instead of aliens, which that's not new in Doctor Who. I feel like it was just they would be explained away as not being supernatural, but I think it would be kind of cool if it is supernatural stuff actually happening and that it's not alien and he's got to kind of like wrestle with that maybe. Yeah. Would be different, I guess. Yeah, still not ginger, but that's okay.
it does look fun. Like, I've only watched maybe like a season and a few episodes of Doctor Who. Like, I'm not the biggest Doctor Who fan, but it looks fun and it looks like it still looks very quirky, like Doctor Who.
I have not watched Doctor Who since Capaldi. We watched maybe four episodes of Whittaker. The one with Rosa Parks, which was a really good episode. And then I fell off of it.
Yeah, I know with the last season or two, I heard the writing was just not very good. I think they changed the writer back. I don't remember which writer. I believe they changed it back to an older writer for this next season. So that's one reason to look forward to it, is that if people didn't like the writing of the last couple seasons, well, there's a different writer. So that's good.
That's the news. I don't know. It's not Stephen Moffat. If it was Stephen Moffat, I would probably be freaking out.
Right. I don't remember who it is.
I think Moffat's kind of done with it. But was definitely, for a bit, Doctor Who was life. I've got a giant exploding TARDIS picture framed above my dining room.
I got that, but on a blanket here.
Yeah. Nice. It was such a cultural phenomenon. Yeah, we have it framed. I think it's a poster that we bought, technically.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
And then we
have a blanket.
Just have it up. Yeah, it's very large. But we loved it. All right, we'll end the podcast there, unless you guys are geeking out about anything else this week.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay. Well, then Shelly, where can they find you at?
Follow me on Twitter at TheShellShock24.
And LJ?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter under LJ the Paladin.
And you can always find me on Instagram at Cody Armor. Keep gaming, keep praying, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Geeks Under Grace podcast. We love hearing from you, so feel free to ask us questions or just comment on the show by using the hashtag GUGcast on Twitter or by joining the GUGcast questions channel in the Geeks Under Grace Discord. If you like this episode, consider leaving a review or rating of our show on your favorite podcast app. If you want even more Geeks Under Grace, you can always go to geeksundergrace.com. We love you all so much, so thank you for listening. It's on!